House will be in order. The House will be in order. Pursuant to the Constitution and the statutes of the State of Iowa, the House of Representatives of the General Assembly is hereby convened in regular session. The prayer today will be offered by Representative Dolichek. He'll be my guest, and the pledge will be offered by Trey Wellman, Speaker's Page from Donelson.
Thank you. Being asked to do the prayer this morning, I guess, affords me the opportunity to be one of the first to welcome you back to the General Assembly, 89th General Assembly, the second session. Will you please join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning asking for blessings and for your mercy for the many things that we have been asked to do. We have been forgiven for making mistakes. Dear Honor, we thank you for the honor you've bestowed upon us as we represent our constituents in this state on their behalf. We pray that you bless our frontline workers as they struggle with the tiring work before them. We pray the decisions that we make this session will be tempered with cooperation, respect, and humility. We also pray that everything we do this session will benefit this great state and give honor and glory to you. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance
The House will give attention to the correction of the journal from October 28, 2021. The journal stands approved. Chair recognizes the lady from Clay, Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move that a committee of three be appointed to notify the governor that the House is duly organized and ready to receive any communication she might desire to transmit.
You've all heard the motion. All those in favor shall say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. And the chair appoints such committee. The lady from Clay, Representative Jones, the gentleman from Jasper, Representative Dunwell, and the gentleman from Dallas, Representative Judge. Will the committee please retire and perform their duties? The chair recognizes the lady from Franklin, Representative Latham.
Mr. Speaker, I move that a committee of three be appointed to notify the Senate that the House is duly organized and ready to receive any communications it might desire to transmit.
You have all heard the motion. All those in favor shall say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. And the chair appoints such committee. The lady from Franklin, Representative Latham. Gentleman from Adair, Representative Sorensen. And the lady from Cerro Gordo, Representative Steckman. Will the committee please retire and perform its duties? Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchettle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent for the immediate consideration of House Concurrent Resolution 101.
The gentleman from Harrison asks unanimous consent for immediate consideration of House Concurrent Resolution 101. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the clerk will read.
House Concurrent Resolution 101 by Grassley and Confers, a concurrent resolution providing for a joint convention for this condition of the state address.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchettle.
Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of House Concurrent Resolution 101.
You have all heard the motion. All those in favor shall say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. And the motion prevails and the resolution is adopted. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchettle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent for the immediate consideration of House Concurrent Resolution 102.
The gentleman from Harrison asks unanimous consent for immediate consideration of House Concurrent Resolution 102. Are there any objections? Chair hears none, and the clerk will read.
House Concurrent Resolution 102 by Grassley and Confers, a concurrent resolution providing for the joint convention of the condition of the judiciary address.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchettle.
Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of House Concurrent Resolution 102.
You have all heard the motion. Those in favor, so vote aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, vote no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The motion prevails, and the resolution is adopted. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchell.
Mr. Speaker, I ask for unanimous consent for the immediate consideration of House Concurrent Resolution 103.
The gentleman from Harrison requests unanimous consent for immediate consideration of House Concurrent Resolution 103. Are there objections? Chair hears none, and the clerk will read.
House Concurrent Resolution 103 by Grassley and Confers, concurrent resolution providing for the joint convention for the condition of the Iowa National Guard.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchell.
Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of House Concurrent Resolution 103.
You have all heard the motion. Those in favor shall vote aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The motion prevails, and the resolution is adopted. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchell.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent to immediately message House Concurrent Resolutions 101, 102, and 103 to the Senate.
The gentleman from Harrison asks unanimous consent to immediately message House Concurrent Resolution 101, 102, and 103 to the Senate. Are there any objections? Chair hears none, so ordered. Well, it's that time to get us kicked off here, and so I just want to thank ladies and gentlemen of the House. It's great to be back with you all today. Although this is the second session of the General Assembly, a couple of things look different than they did a year ago. So some welcome notes are in order. First, we have two new members of the Iowa House. As we welcome you to your first official session, I know you've been with us for a few special sessions, but just want to introduce Representative Michael Busolo and Representative Dunwell. You've both already been here for that special session, but I welcome you to your first full legislative session. I know you will both do hard work and be strong voices for your constituents. So thank you and welcome again. Where's Dunwell? Minority Leader Confirst, I know you've also had some time to settle into your new role. Welcome to the first day of your official session as Minority Leader. As you know, while it's the disagreements that we'll be focused on during session, majority of the bills we pass are bipartisan. I look forward to working with you in this new capacity to deliver policies to help Iowans in every corner of the state. While some things have changed, some have stayed the same. Majority Leader Winchell, this will be our third session together and our 16th year in the legislature together. For those of you who don't know, I've never been the youngest legislator, thanks to him. So I appreciate that. We came in the same time, about 6 months younger. So I never had that distinction, but looking forward to working together and moving the state forward. Some big thanks I want to give. This fall was a pretty testing fall for at the Grassley Farm, and I know that if anyone ever asks me what I want to talk about, DNH Youth Athletics and farming are always my go-to. So this fall, had to go about a week without my dad due to being diagnosed with COVID, or testing positive for COVID. And I will tell you that not only for myself, but Senator Grassley, thank you to my dad. We could not do what we do without you. And I've always known that until I had to live it for that period of time. It became very evident. So thank you to all that he does for myself and the ability to serve as well as my grandfather. Quick update on the kids. Indy had the opportunity of being a part of a state championship volleyball team. I think we were 51-1. I'm gonna brag just a little because again, volleyball is my go-to. As you can tell, it's easier for me to talk about that than give a speech. But being a part of that, as well as Reagan now being kind of priming her way into the volleyball career. And just last Saturday, and Melissa, I didn't get any pictures to put on social media, I apologize. My youngest Chance had his first basketball practice, first grader. Let's just say we got a little work to do on our left-handed dribbling. That's the first thing that we got to be working on. Wasn't exactly my expertise as well. But just wanted you guys to know that. So if you ever need to have a conversation, DNH, volleyball, Skylar, I'm sorry, Western Christian may get to win again in 2 years when my daughter's class graduates. That was a good one. Nobody liked that one? Oh, the Western Iowa people they didn't want to offend anyone, I know. I'm eager to get back to work with all of you on behalf of the people of Iowa. This session, we've got our work cut out for us to meet this moment that we are in as a state. Because of the responsible budgeting practices and the decisions to keep the state as open as possible, Iowa's economy is strong, we have a healthy ending balance, our reserves are full, and the Taxpayer Relief Fund has reached a whopping $1 billion. Last session, we sped up the largest tax cuts in the state's history while allocating record investments in priorities such as public safety, corrections, broadband, and education. This is something every Iowa can understand. The state is taking in more money, more tax money than it needs, and Iowans deserve to have that money back. We must return this money to the Iowa taxpayer. The decisions that are being made by the Biden administration have led to record high inflation that are hurting Iowa families, and Iowans need relief now. The Iowa House Republican Caucus has a reputation of being responsible and forward-looking while delivering sustainable tax relief, and that will continue during this 2022 session. Across the country, we're seeing a workforce shortage and supply chain issues, and Iowa's no different. Iowa's economy has 64,000 unemployed Iowans and 110,000 unfilled jobs. An economy that is creating jobs is always a great sign, but now I think it's time for us to channel our efforts toward filling the jobs that we already have open. There won't be one single bill that solves this issue. It needs to be a holistic approach. We need to get creative, and we need to work together along with the governor as well as the Senate to try to find solutions. Additionally, we can't solve the workforce shortage without increasing access to quality, affordable childcare. And I feel our caucus has taken tremendous leadership on this issue. There's a lot of faces that are in here, and I say this all the time, and I don't think it's something that we should shy away from. This is not an issue that the Republican caucus, Republicans, had really talked a lot up until two elections ago when we had a new class of members come in that made that a priority and issue that our caucus needed to focus on. And I'm thankful that they did that, and we have taken that and run with it. And I would say it led in the Capitol on trying to find solutions for parents as well as providers and businesses across the state, because we recognize how important that is to the workforce issue that we're facing. So I won't take all the credit, but I think that our caucus deserves a significant amount of it. And finally, we need to ensure that we're here to hold the line and protect the freedoms of Iowans. We've already seen the lengths that this president's administration is willing to go to infringe on the rights of individual Iowans, parents, and businesses. We cannot let that happen here in Iowa. We must push back. Thank you all for the opportunity to lay out a few agenda items this morning as we begin our session. I know over the next 4 months, we will be engaging in meaningful and passionate discussions on many more issues than the ones I just mentioned. I look forward to a healthy debate that on occasion may even take us past midnight. We'll make sure the rules work out, Leader Windschuttle, don't worry. But I do again look forward to working with all of you. We have a lot of work to do before us, but we also have tremendous opportunities in this state, and we need to continue to move Iowa forward. So God bless all of you, and thank you. Chair recognizes the Sergeant at Arms.
Mr. Speaker, the committee to notify the governor has returned and is ready to report.
Chair recognizes the lady from Clay, Representative Jones.
Mr. Speaker, the committee to notify the governor that the House is duly organized and ready to receive any communication she may desire to transmit has performed its duty.
The report is received and the committee is discharged. Thank you, Representative Jones. Chair recognizes the Sergeant at Arms.
Mr. Speaker, the committee to notify the Senate has returned and is ready to report.
Chair recognizes the lady from Franklin, Representative Latham.
Mr. Speaker, the committee to notify the Senate that the House is duly organized and ready to receive any communication they may desire to transmit has performed its duty.
The report is received and the committee is discharged. Thank you. At At this time, the chair would recognize Representative Confers for opening day speech.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House, good morning. It is truly an honor to serve with each of you, my colleagues in the Iowa House, and it's a great honor to lead this group of fierce, caring, and dedicated members of the House Democratic Caucus. Seeing everyone again this morning, being in this beautiful building and in this chamber, I'm reminded that there's hope in starting fresh. There's opportunity in bringing what we've learned over the interim. And there's responsibility in our work for the people of Iowa. The Iowans I talk to every day are frustrated, but hopeful. They're tired, but optimistic. They're weary, but they keep going. We owe them a productive session that honors their hard work and doesn't leave anyone behind. We come to this session knowing our state is facing myriad challenges, challenges we were elected to tackle head on, despite the difficulty and despite some philosophical differences. Iowans elected 100 of us to serve them, and each of us has a responsibility and a role in completing the important work of the people this session. They didn't elect some of us to lead and others to respond. They elected 100 of us to serve them fairly, equitably, and fully. Additionally, let's all work to remember we were elected to serve everyone in our districts, not just those who agree with us. Every Iowan deserves that respect from us as their state representative. We also know that Iowans are hiring. We see Iowa companies continuing to have help wanted signs in their windows, and they are pleading with us to do all we can to help them find workers. Certainly, workforce challenges are happening all across the country, which is why it's so important that we work holistically to address this crisis in Iowa. As many of you know, I was raised by and trained as a journalist, and I proudly teach journalism and communication at Drake University. Go Bulldogs. In my life and in my work, I've learned how critically important it is to tell stories, to help people understand and empathize with those in their communities. The important work we're doing this year tells a story about who we are, what we value, and how we envision our state's future. What kind of story will we tell? This session, we can tell a story that sets Iowa apart and helps our state grow again. Or we can tell a story that says we think we can fix it with one budget-busting move that ignores the underlying causes of the workforce crisis. I'm hopeful we choose to look at this substantial problem completely and honestly. Let's imagine a young family deciding whether to move to Iowa for good jobs or to some other state in the Midwest. Will we create a state where they can find affordable childcare, where they have access to quality healthcare and quality affordable housing? Can we make sure their kids will have high-quality public schools to attend, schools that are the centerpiece of their community no matter where kids live or what their families can afford to pay? When we look at rightfully returning tax surplus dollars to Iowans, will they see that middle-class Iowans finally benefit from tax cuts? Will this young family feel welcome in Iowa? Can they rest assured that no matter who they are or who they love or what they choose to do, they're welcome here? If we can do that, I feel confident that young families will like the Iowa story we tell, and they will choose to build a life here just like we all have. Or will we send them the message that only certain types of families are welcome here? Will we send the message that we prioritize more public money for private schools, statewide solutions to local problems, and a divisive agenda that's rife with unintended consequences that make Iowa less welcoming? If this is the path we choose, our workforce crisis will get worse. Iowans will continue to leave. People will choose other states with higher wages, better housing and childcare, and a more welcoming climate for themselves and their families. Democrats know we can do better this session. We need bold steps to grow our workforce and keep the next generation here in Iowa. We should reward the hard work of Iowans with more money in their pockets and higher wages. We should return to our deep history of strong public schools. We should make sure childcare is both affordable and accessible. We should expand housing options in small towns, rural areas, and cities. Now, before I close, I need to address one final issue that presents the greatest threat to our state and our nation, and that is misinformation. It's become increasingly clear that we can no longer ignore the lies and the misinformation so pervasive today. As elected officials, we have a deep responsibility to not just tell the truth, but to defend the truth and hold each other accountable. Our kids deserve to know the full truth about our history without interference or threats from lawmakers. Our families deserve the truth about how to stay healthy during the pandemic instead of falsehoods promoted by some politicians. Our democracy needs us to uphold the truth so it can endure. Iowans deserve to know the decisions we make this session are grounded in reality, not internet conspiracy theories. We must base policies on facts, not Facebook. We must govern based on truth, not Twitter. I know each and every one of us is honored to be here this morning. I know we all worked hard to get here, and our families sacrificed a lot for us to have the opportunity to serve. I am grateful to Lee, Ellie, and James. I could brag about them a little bit too, but we're already going a little long, Mr. Speaker, for their support as I serve to support the state that we all love. And I'm grateful to your families for sharing you with all of us in this important work. I truly enjoy getting to know you and building friendships with you. I'm hopeful that this year we can remember that our policy differences don't mean that we need to resort to personal attacks. I'm optimistic that even during sharp debate, we can remember the humanity and the people sitting at each and every one of these desks. And I hope we can remember our shared commitment to the people of Iowa. Like you, I treasured time with my family over the holidays, including time gathering together for a shared meal at Christmas. Every time we gather together, we end our pre-dinner prayer with the same words, "And keep ever before us the needs of others." This reminder will stick with me once again this session as we do the people's business. Let us keep ever before us the needs of others and work together toward a better Iowa. Thank you for your service. Now let's get to work.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison for his opening day remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of the House. First and foremost, I always try and start these speeches, as I've given many of them now, with thanking the people that allow me to do this job. And that's my wife, Eva Lise, and our two daughters, Anna and Addie. The 16 years we've been down here, as the Speaker well knows, the family is the one that really faces the brunt of the sacrifice. When the water heater goes out and, well, somebody else has got to come in to fix it, or something else goes wrong around the house and you have to call in a family member because you can't make it back home from Des Moines because you're doing the people's work. So, Evie, Anna, Addie, thank you. I'd also like to thank God the Father. I never thought that I'd be standing down here doing this job, and it's only because of His grace and His blessing that I'm able to do what I do and continue to work for the people of Iowa and try and advance the cause of freedom. I also have to thank my constituents back home. For some reason, they took this 22-year-old kid back in 2006. They elected him and said, we want that to be our representative. Now here I stand 16 years later as the majority leader of the Iowa House, and for some reason, they continue to have me. So I appreciate my constituents back home and the opportunity to serve them. I also want to thank my caucus. You've put faith and trust in me over many years in different leadership roles, and I appreciate that faith and trust. I hope that I'm rewarding that faith and trust as adequately as I possibly can. I know I can not always be the good guy and tell you yes to every bill that comes across my desk. Representative Meyer, I'm sorry, the couple of times we've talked, and Representative Shipley, you and I have had quite a few conversations. The point is, I appreciate that you've allowed me to continue to serve you even when I cannot say yes to everything that you want to have done. I also want to thank the minority members. I know sometimes, because I served for 4 years in the minority, that it can feel disenfranchising to be in the minority and feel like you don't have a voice or maybe you're not being heard well enough, but you're down here, you're doing the job your constituents selected you to do, and you are a vital part and function of this great chamber and the work that we do. So I want to thank all of the minority as well. We got a lot of work ahead of us, and there are a plethora of opportunities for us to work together. Leader Kahn, first, you highlighted many of the different issues that are out there. Speaker Grassley brought up many as well. Let us try and focus on those opportunities to build the bridges instead of burn them, all right? I know it's easy to do when we get on Facebook and Twitter and try and burn down the opposition, but let us find those times where we can actually move forward together and get done what Iowans expect us to do, instead of trying to find a way to divide us or to tear us apart back home in our districts. Iowans elected each and every one of us individually. Let's respect that and earn the title of honorable as we move forward this session. We've already proven last session that we can do that. I can't tell you how many bills we passed through this chamber almost unanimously. A lot of them got through the Senate, some of them died in the Senate. But the point is this, we can work together more often than we can't, as long as we just try and see each other as human beings instead of Republicans or Democrats or partisan politicians. One of the biggest things that we're going to have to face this session is the surplus. We all know about it, we've all heard about it, we've all seen the headlines in the newspapers. We have to find a way to take that $1 billion that Iowans have put into the state general fund and return it to them in a responsible way. There's going to be a lot of disagreements on how exactly to do that, but we have to do it in a way that is not only responsible, but sustainable. Far too often we get down here and people talk about state general fund dollars and we forget that that's the taxpayers' money. That money needs to go back to the taxpayers. I've said for 16 years the taxpayers of Iowa know how to better spend, invest their money than state government ever does. So we need to find a way to put that money back in Iowans' pockets. It will continue to spur our economy and move us forward. I mean, look at where we're at in the height of a two-year pandemic that we're in right now. We've got one of the best economies in the nation. We've got a surplus. We're doing great, folks. Let's continue to build upon the successes that we've already had because we stand on the shoulders of giants. The other thing that we have to do, and the speaker highlighted it, we have to defend Iowans' freedoms. It seems like every day we turn around, there's some new mandate or some new edict or some bureaucracy that wants to tell Iowans what they have to do or employers what they must do. We have to push back against these types of things. Look, at the end of the day, we have to trust in the individual Iowan to make the best choice for themselves. Government doesn't always have the answer, and I would argue that government almost never has the correct answer 100% of the time. We have to let Iowans make the decisions for themselves. We have to let them make the choices that's right for them and their families as we move through this pandemic and as they live their everyday life, just trying to hold on to the American dream. So, at every opportunity that we see, let us always look at what we're doing down here through the lens of freedom. I have said it repeatedly in these speeches over the years, but I'll continue to repeat it. If you have a piece of legislation that you're going to propose or that you're looking at to move through a committee or an amendment that you want to have offered, try and look at it through the lens of freedom. How does this policy make Iowans more free? How does this let them make decisions for themselves instead of government making it for them? Now, granted, we're not going to get there 100% of the time. Sorry, that's my phone. We're not going to get there 100% of the time, but we can at least endeavor to try and make sure that Iowans are freer at the end of this session. Speaker Grassley, I look forward to working with you. I know that you and I have been down here 16 years. I deprived you of the title of youngest legislator all those years ago. Not that it mattered much. We were in the minority, and we pushed the red button a lot more often back then. But I do look forward to working with you and your leadership to guide the House Republican Caucus in the direction that they tell us that they want us to go in, because that's what they're hearing from their constituents back home. And I look forward to looking back at 2022 and saying, wow, we did even better than we did previously. Leader Confirst, you and I have had many different conversations. I look forward to working with you and members of your caucus to achieve a combined agenda. We can't always agree, we get that, but I do look forward to having those conversations. And I'll tell you this, whenever we do finally get that chance to go grab a beer, first round's on me, okay? All right. Look, we've got a lot of work to do, and we've got 100 days to do it. I keep telling people that I'm hoping for 90 days or less. Who's with me on that one? Anybody? I knew I could get applause for that one. 90 days or less. All right, so let's work together as best we can, move forward, and make Iowa the best place to live, grow, and raise a family. We can do it together, folks. I know we can. We've done it before. So let's get to that work, and God bless Iowa. Thank you.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I ask for unanimous consent for the Administration Rules Committee to meet at 1 p.m. today.
Are there objections? Chair hears none, so order. The chair recognizes. We're going to stand at ease. The Senate is running on Senate time, so we have to wait to have to receive them. So the House will stand at ease for a moment. The House will be in order. The chair recognizes the Sergeant at Arms.
Mr. Speaker, the committee from the Senate is here to report.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Buchanan, Senator Johnson.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate is organized and ready for business.
The report is received. Thank you. Chair recognizes the lady from Polk, Representative Confirst.
I apologize, Mr. Speaker. Are we now going to caucus? Is that what we're talking about? Yes. Democrats will caucus immediately upstairs in 305. I'm off to a great start, everyone. Thank you. Caucus in 305, Democrats.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans will caucus at 1045 in the Supreme Court chamber. And if there's no further business to come before the House at this time, I move the House adjourn until Tuesday, January 11, 2022 at 8:30 a.m.
Is there further business to come before the House? Seeing none, you've all heard the motion. All those in favor shall say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it, and the House is adjourned.